This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The annual Snowflake Ski Jump is celebrating its 93rd competition this weekend in Westby. The all-volunteer club is unique to the world of ski jumping and has a long history of popularizing the sport in the Cooley region. Joining us today to talk about the history of the ski club and what to expect from this weekend's competition is Mike Thompson, Vice President of the Snowflake Ski Club and this weekend's Chief of Competition, and Signe Jordet, Executive Director for USA Nordic. So the Snowflake Ski Club has been around since the 1920s. Can you tell us a little bit about how the club got started?
Well, back in 1922, a group of businessmen and farmers in Westby got together and decided to have a ski club. So they raised some funds and built a slide on a farm by the person's last name was Holte, and that was located between the city of Westby and the little village of Bloomingdale. And on February 8th, 1923, they held their first tournament. It was about 2,000 people showed up back then. From 1923 until the mid-40s, that's where the event was held. And in 1946, it moved to another location called Seas Branch, and that area is between the city of Westby and the city of Viroqua. And then in the late 1940s, they moved to another location, which is behind our present-day clubhouse in Timber Cooley, and that was called Anderson Hill, and that hill was active until 1960. In fact, they've had Olympic trials there. They had the Olympic team trained there, and then we've had numerous national championships held there back then. And in 1960, the present hill was constructed. Once again, all volunteers. In fact, I've got a photograph of my grandfather digging the foundations by hand with a shovel. It's a pretty neat photo. The first competition was held there in 1960. There's been several modifications to that hill. Most recently, last summer, we recontoured the entire hill to get it up to more modern standards. And so we've had all the tournaments there since from 1960 up until the present day.
And what you mentioned, you know, it's all volunteers, an all-volunteer club. You know, how is that unique to some of the other, you know, ski clubs?
Well, you know, as far as on a world level, national level, you know, most of the clubs have hired employees and they have big dollars behind them. And our club is all, I guess, grassroots is what you would call it. You know, I live and work here in La Crosse, but I grew up in Westby, and I travel down there for meetings and to help work out. There's other, you know, people in the club who have full-time jobs, and they take time off of their jobs and spend their weekends and their free hours down there, you know, getting things ready and staying up till 3-4 o'clock in the morning to watch the snowmaking machine, because you can't depend on Mother Nature to be consistent with the way things are. So I think that's one of the things that sets us apart in Westby is that it's the love of the sport and to keep our community unique. And we are a small town, and sometimes it gets we've stretched a little thin, but we always manage to make do.
And Signe, on a national level, I mean, are there volunteer clubs that you know of?
We have about 30 clubs across the U.S., all the way from New England, across the Central Division, and into the mountains and up to Alaska. And the Central Division is very strong in tradition and volunteer clubs and really keeping the sport strong across the country.
Mm-hmm. And you know, as someone who sees, you know, different competitions, you know, is do you see, you know, just the way the competition is run? Are there you know, differences, or just you know, maybe the staff, you know, of the Westby Ski Jump?
There are always different traditions everywhere we go. It's always a party in the Midwest, and in the Northeast they like their candelabras and to make it a little bit fancier. But it's always about the ski jumping and about supporting the ski jumpers and bringing the cowbells out and supporting the athletes.
You know, like Signe and I just both returned from Chicago, north side of Chicago, where they had our ski tournament there, and there was, in the driving rain on Sunday, there was still 5,000 people there that came to see the event. And they have music going, and kids are sledding, and families are there, and it's a lot of fun. People bring their lawn chairs out and cheer the kids on, and anywhere age anywhere from 11 years old up to, we had a competitor that was 51 years old on Saturday of the tournament. So,
and it's really about making them family events so everyone can participate.
Yep. And ski jumping is, as far as other sports go, it's one of the safest sports. I mean, a lot of people in this country, I think, see the ABC Wild World of Sports, and that is an unfair characterization of ski jumping, because what they don't see is that gentleman walking back up to the hill and taking another ride 5 minutes later and landing perfectly and is totally okay. So,
yeah, let's talk about a little bit about ski jumping as a sport and just kind of the ins and outs. So, you know, you say it's you know, safe, but it's obviously they're moving pretty fast. It's a pretty steep hill. You know, what are the safety precautions that are taken?
Well, you know, the National Governing Board and the International FIS Federation, Ski Federation, there's requirements for helmets. There's requirements for the length of the skis. There's requirements for the suits. And the thing that all competitions, whether it's our big hill in Westby or jumping off a 5 meter hill in Westby, the safety of the skiers is the most important thing. You know, the crowd enjoys seeing people jump to the bottom of the hill, but the safety of the skiers is important. And that's helped by, you know, where they start on the scaffolding. If we feel they're going too fast, then we start them lower down, because the best athletes, no matter the speed, are going to land at the bottom of the hill with the proper technique. So.
And so how fast does the average skier go? Do you know?
Depends on the size of the hill.
In Westby, they'll go from 0 to 60 miles an hour back to 0 in a span of about 8 seconds.
That's crazy.
But they'll never be more than 12 feet off the ground at any one point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they follow the contour of the hill and glide. And if you've seen ski jumping on TV or been to Westby before, when they come off the tower, they get into what's called a V formation. And that's basically they're trying to turn their body into an airplane wing to get lift. And if the wind is coming up the hill, then they glide and they softly land and everything is good.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the 93rd annual Snowflake Ski Jump in Westby this weekend. We're here with Signe Jordette, Executive Director for USA Nordic, and Mike Thompson, this weekend's Chief of Competition. And so we're talking, you know, about ski jumping kind of as a sport. And, you know, Signe, we were talking about this a little bit earlier that, you know, ski jumping is not really one of those things that the average person can just go out and try. You know, how do people really get involved in ski jumping?
In the central division where we are here, it's a lot of family tradition. Grandfathers and fathers and now daughters and sons are all jumping. We do a lot of different types of events around the country to get other people involved. But that's really in this area, that's the strength of the community.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, is it pretty popular to have, you know, people offering lessons or like schools of ski jumping? How does that work?
Well, with the clubs, as we said before, a lot of the clubs go out and they go into the communities and bring people in. The clubs range all the way from Park City to Hanover, New Hampshire. And we do a pretty good job of bringing people in and trying out new things.
In our club at Westby, we're fortunate enough to have a gentleman by the name of Matt Coyler. He's originally from the Minneapolis area, and he ended up going to La Crosse or going to UWL for college, and he lives in this area now. And he is a former ski jumper, and so he has helped bring the junior club back to activity in Westby. His own son and daughter both jump. And I think at this year's meeting at the library in Westby, the information meeting, he had 60 kids show up. So out of those 60, we probably get, you know, 10 or 15 that stick it out all through the end, and they start on the little 5 meter bump all the way up. You know, right now I think Westby has, in our club, we have one person who's been at it long enough now that he jumps off our 65-meter hill, where if you're in Westby, that's the second largest hill we have. But as an example, in Chicago this past weekend, there's skiers that come from Eau Claire, Cloquet, Minnesota. I Itasca, Minnesota, Wisconsin Rapids, Madison. There was 84 kids jumping in Chicago between the ages of 5 and 51. And in our own junior tournament in Westby that we had in the beginning of January, we had about 60 skiers, you know, in the age groups all the way from 5 years old up to, I would say, in the mid-30s. We have some gentlemen that are semi-retired and just do it for fun because it is fun, you know. And one of the things about one of the rewards, I guess, for the youth skiers is that throughout the year, each region, Central Division here, and then there's East and West and Intermountain and Alaska, they have competitions throughout the year. And then the top, I suppose, 10 place winners in each region qualified for the National Junior Tournament, which is going to be held in Salisbury, Connecticut at the end of February. So, you know, it's something, you know, if you get good at it and you enjoy it there is a reward at the end, and who knows, some of these junior skiers could end up, you know, moving even higher after that. So,
mm-hmm. And are there skiers in the area that, you know, like Cygnus said, that's kind of keeping it in the family tradition?
In our club, it kind of stopped for a while because our junior club was dormant for a while. But now that we're going again, there are, you know, like I said, our coach, Matt, his son and daughter both ski jump. So we're hoping to, I mean, my goal, as a member of the board of the club, my goal is to have a kid from Westby jump off our big hill in our big tournament that we put on. That's something that I really want to see happen soon. The last time I think a club member jumped off our big hill was 1999. So this is something that we're working towards, and I think we're taking proper steps. We've remodeled our junior hills. We have a good training program. We have an excellent coach. And I think that's something in our future that we're really going to see soon.
So if we're not seeing a lot of competitors necessarily coming from Westby, you know, what do you think keeps people really interested in the community and in kind of keeping the Snowflake Ski Club alive and going?
I think, you know, where else around here can you drive, you know, if you're from the La Crosse area, where else can you drive a half an hour to see an Olympic level sport? You know, I mean, When I was growing up in Westby, I thought, well, everybody has this, you know. It wasn't until I went to college I realized, well, you know, it is pretty special. Not every town has something like this. And I think that's what, you know, it takes pride in your community. And people that come once, they tend to come back. You know, once we get you down there, you tend to come back. Like, there's people come from, you know, the area around here, but we also have, I've met people as far away from, you know, Nebraska that have showed up. And I have friends that I went to college with that come back, and they live north of Fargo, North Dakota, and they come back for the weekend because they enjoy it. It's unique and it's interesting, and it's, you meet a lot of the same people and you make some connections, and it's just a good time.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked about the popularity of some of these competitions, you know, all across the U.S. Do you feel like ski jumping as a sport has, you know, the popularity of going to these competitions, has that changed at all, or is that pretty a consistent thing year to year?
The sport is growing, and that's a big goal as a national organization, to help the clubs grow and to grow the sport within the United States. So it's been pretty exciting, and there are a couple of new clubs that have started to form and some new jumps being built and old jumps being refurbished.
That definitely is exciting. I mean, you know, how does the popularity here maybe compare to, you know, places in Europe or other areas? I'm not sure if you're familiar.
In Europe, ski jumping is like the NFL. They get crowds of 30 to 50,000, depending on the event. And it's a really big deal. It's on television everywhere. The athletes are like rock stars. It's pretty amazing. So there's a little bit of a difference between Europe and the U.S., but we definitely have fun here and love the sport as much as they do.
Mm-hmm. So maybe the community's smaller, but, you know, maybe like Mike said, you kind of see the same people then, I would assume, and get to develop those relationships at competitions.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of tradition in the groups that come to the competitions all over the world. For example, there's a group of older gentlemen who go to Finland every year, and they started competing there in the 50s, and they continue to go and watch the events every year. So it's a really great builder for our community as a whole.
That's Signe Jordet, Executive Director for USA Nordic, here with us today to talk about Westby's Snowflake Ski Club and their annual competition being held this weekend. Also joining our conversation is Mike Thompson, Vice President of the Snowflake Ski Club. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So let's talk about this weekend's competition and what some people can expect from the weekend, because I know there's a few other things going around on not just the kind of big competition. You want to, I don't know, who wants to talk a little bit about that?
Well, the athletes will have training down there, open training during the daytime. And then Thursday we have hospitality night in the valley down there. That's where, you know, you can come and have a little potluck supper and meet the skiers and get together and just socialize. And then Friday, more training. Friday night, starting at 7 o'clock p.m. under the lights. That's when the competition gets going. We'll have three rounds of competition, followed by there'll be live music afterwards. And then Saturday, we start it all over again, starting at noon. One thing about the skiers that I would like to say, you know, getting on back to traditions, you know, when you think of athletic competitions, you know, the teams come to town and they check into a hotel and that's where they sit and then they watch TV and they whatever. Well, in Westby, and this has been going on since well before I became involved in the club, since for as far back as I think even my father can remember. When the skiers come to Westby, they stay with families in the community. So they have a home-cooked meal and a place where they can relax, and they get, you know, one thing about that, it's a way to make connections, and you get some families that will have the same, if it's the same coach or even the same group of skiers, that they'll stay there 2 and 3 years. Like the Norwegians that are here this year, it's the same coach who was here in Westby 2 years ago, and they're staying with the same family. And then they became friends on Facebook with each other, and that's how they've connected. And the team from Slovenia that's coming, they're staying with the same family that they stayed with previously because they've made that connection, and they feel comfortable and they feel welcome. And I think it's a way to show, you know, the hospitality, and it just makes people, I think it's more, if I was a stranger, a young, late teens, early 20s, and it's nice to have some place that's a home and not a sterile hotel room. And I think it helps people relax. And for some of these kids, it's their first trip overseas. So I think it's also more relaxing and it helps out. And it's a way for the community to become even more involved with our sport. I mean, to the point where in the early 70s, there was a skier from Norway who came here, competed, ended up going to college because back in the 70s, actually, ski jumping was a sanctioned NCAA sport. Up until the late 70s, I believe. Well, this gentleman came to Westby, won our competition, got a skiing scholarship to the University of Colorado, and then moved back to Westby, ended up marrying the ski queen from the year that he was in Westby, and they lived in Westby ever since. So,
wow, that's such a unique tradition. And how do you think that affects the community, not only just getting them more involved in the competition, but, you know, getting exposure to people of different cultures and from different places?
Anytime you meet someone from another area or another culture, I think it's good. It's good to expand your horizons and realize that there's people different than you, and different is okay. You know, sometimes I think food and language, for the most part, that's the thing that they have to get over. But, you know, you fumble around a little bit and you understand
and
what each other means.
Very much the same at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, you find those similarities and and the sport. That's what brings us all together.
I don't know if it was 1 year that the person I met him at a competition prior to Westby, and they wanted to know if the person they were staying with was going to make them chocolate chip cookies again. So, you know, little things like that. So it makes people feel welcome, I think, and that helps.
And, you know, as a whole, I'm sure that this just bringing in spectators, bringing in, you know, the coaches, the competitors, everyone to the small town of Westby, which I think their population's, you know, 2,000, 2,200. So, you know, I'm sure that's a big benefit for the community there.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, we have the two local hotels are full for the weekend, you know, and you have to, if you come to town, you have to buy gas, you have to eat some groceries, you know, so you have to go to the gift shops on Main Street. And, you know, and that spills over even into Viroqua. Their hotels, I'm sure, are full for the weekend. And, you know, it's not just the city of Westby, but it's this area. You know, we have people, I'm sure that, you know, the skiers, when they come into town, if they've got free time, most of them want to come up and go to the mall and spend some money and, you know, see some things. And it's overall, I think it's exposure to this area. You know, if even our social media site on Facebook, you know, I've seen people putting on that they're from way out of the area, that they're seeing our event. And, you know, there's advertising that we have in the Milwaukee area that, you know, it brings people to not just Westby, but the Cooley region. And I think overall, that's great for this entire area, not just for the city of Westby, because if you come here in the wintertime and you go, well, this is pretty nice, I wonder what it's like in the summer, so let's come back for, you know, Sit in the Mai or Riverfest or any local, you know, Boiler Days in Arcadia, any local event. And they come here and they want to come back because it's beautiful. You know, I grew up here and I never left, so.
And how big of a crowd are you expecting?
We figure we're hoping for 3,000 or 4,000 each day. You know, it's difficult to tell Friday night because it's dark and you can't really see, you know, the crowd. But from where I'm positioned during the tournament, up in the judges' tower on the side of the hill, the best thing to see is the line of headlights that are snaking around the road coming down into the valley. You know, my dad would tell me stories back when he was my age or younger of, you know, it's a 4 mile, once you turn off the highway to get to the club, to the ski club, it's about 3 miles, 4 miles. And he said when he was young, there was cars waiting to turn off of there. They've had crowds of 20,000 people or more in Westby. You know, and that's gone down a little bit, but, you know, we're slowly working our way back. And, you know, the history of our club in the last 10 to 15 years, you know, there was a time when we were thinking of shutting down because we were running out of volunteers and we were running out of money. And it came down to a vote one night and we said, let's keep this thing going. And we've turned it around. We're doing a lot better now, and our future is extremely bright, in my opinion. We've got money to do some projects and fix some things up, and we've done that recently, and our club has got bright days ahead. More volunteers wouldn't hurt. That's the only thing that I think. The more people that we can get down there to help put our event on, the better it is for everybody, and it brings a sense of, I guess, reward is the word I would think of. You know, hey, I helped put this big event on, you know.
And Signa, do you think that maybe is a common occurrence that smaller ski clubs might have, you know, are experiencing financial troubles or troubles finding volunteers to put on their tournaments?
Absolutely. We've seen that a lot all across the country. And people have really come together and worked on different ways to make things work out, bring in new volunteers, new people to the community, new sources of funding, all different kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. And Signy's organization is, you know, great at fundraising, and they've done wonders for the sport as far as keeping things going because funding had been cut at a national level. So her organization is, and it all helps from the top down, and our club is benefiting from her organization. So,
and for your volunteers, you know, for the competition, are they members of the ski club, or are they just members of the community?
Well, most people are members of the club. You know, like the core members are the one that gets everything prepared. But, you know, the days of the event, we always need extra help to put the event on. You know, we need a group of people. It's hill markers, they're called, and they stand along the... If you go to the event, they're the ones standing all up and down the hill. And then where the skiers land, that they call out the distance, and then that's reported to the judges. And, you know, those obviously aren't all club members. But those people, that's what I used to do before I became an official. But those actually, there's family members of club members that come home for the weekend, and they help, they do their little bit. So everybody has a niche to fit into, and everybody find, you know, we're thankful for the people that come and do that sort of thing on the weekend. That helps greatly. But for the most part, it's about 15 to 20 core members that get things ready to go.
Mike Thompson, Vice President of the Snowflake Ski Club, is here with us today to talk about the history of the Snowflake Ski Jump and how the annual competition brings both national and international competitors to the little town of Westby. Also joining us today to talk about the changes in ski jumping is Signe Jordet, Executive Director for USA Nordic. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the Snowflake Ski Club and ski jumping in the Coulee region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to the Snowflake Ski Club's website with the results from this weekend's competition. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking with Signe Jordet, Executive Director for USA Nordic, and Mike Thompson, Vice President of the Snowflake Ski Club and this weekend's Chief of Competition, about the 93rd Annual Snowflake Ski Jump. This yearly tournament brings athletes from all over the U.S. and the world to the little town of Westby to compete at the Snowflake Ski Club. So, you know, before we went to the break, you mentioned, Mike, that, you know, you're always looking for more volunteers, and that there was a time in the past where you kind of questioned, you know, the group questioned whether you'd be able to continue putting on the tournament. And so, you know, you said things are doing better now. Is that still a concern, though, of finding people to kind of get involved?
Yeah, it's and I don't think that's unique to our club. I think that's unique to any volunteer organization that, you know, the jobs all stay the same, but, you know, people, for whatever reason, they lose interest or they move or they just don't have the time. So, you know, the jobs, like I said, the jobs all are all there. You know, we have meetings every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock in our clubhouse, and anybody is welcome. Everybody has a skill they can offer. You know, whether it's working with PR, whether it's helping serve food, whether it's, you know, marking on the hill or moving the skiers from point A to point B down in the valley down there. So we're always looking for new members, and there are no special qualifications except the ability to you know, do a little work now and then. So everybody is certainly welcome.
Mm-hmm. And do you guys do anything to kind of get the word out to bring in volunteers?
Well, you know, we're advertising now, and, you know, on our meetings, you know, we put notices in the local paper of our meetings, but I think, you know, that's one thing that we probably should work on. But, you know, we kind of depend on word of mouth, or, well, if someone, we need this to be done. Well, so-and-so did that last year, so they just call so-and-so and tell them, hey, you're volunteered to do this. But, you know, there are people that enjoy that sort of thing, and we welcome them. But we're all, like I said, there are no special skills, and we're always looking for anybody to come and help out. We'll take you if you want to come and help. So,
and do you find that people come from, you know, La Crosse or from Viroqua, from the area?
I think a majority of our crowd is probably within a 30-mile radius of Westby. But like I said, we get those people from, you know, out of the area that's kind of their thing they like to do is come and watch, you know. And, you know, it's on the topic of the crowd, I think one of the things that turned out to be pretty special and unique, I think, to our club or our organization is that through a very generous donation that we've gotten from a local business here, that anybody who's either active or retired military gets free admission to our event. And we actually have a club member who works with the VA, and they bring a DA, the vets bus down from Toma, and they get free admission. So I think, and a lot of times you'll get people that'll wander over there and, you know, shake some hands and strike up a conversation. And I think those guys and women, you know, really enjoy that sort of thing. And we're very thankful for that, you know, that company that allows us to do that sort of thing. So
members, families, and groups also come from the other clubs in the area pretty consistently. So there's lots of family support and competitors and all kinds of things to help in different ways.
You know, I was in Madison for their event a couple weeks ago, and I was in Chicago this past weekend, and you'll see family members and you know, from all the clubs, and I'm sure I'll see those same group of people here, and they just follow around because their kids jump or they like to, instead of running around and working like we are this weekend, they like to just sit and watch and enjoy, you know. And that's, I think that's what people get out of it too, you know, kind of follow the circuit, I guess you call it.
I know, Mike, earlier you mentioned, you know, a snow machine, the presence of a snow machine. I mean, how big of a factor is weather for this competition?
Oh, it's a big factor. I mean,
all around the world, it's a big factor.
And they've had world, you know, highest level World Cup competitions have been canceled in Europe because of no snow, the warm weather. And, you know, this season was pretty close, and then we got that cold snap of 4 or 5 days or whatever, and our hill is done, and we've got pile of snow, you know. But we have the ability to make our own snow. As long as the temperature gets cold enough, we can run a snowmaker with a pumping out of the creek. And so that's one less thing that we have to worry about, because, you know, I always said you can't worry about the weather because you can't control it anyways. So there are plenty of other things that you can worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the ability to make snow no matter, you know, what the forecast calls.
You wouldn't think that snow would be a problem for skiing, but I guess it is. Mm-hmm. And, Mike, I'm interested. You seem to know a lot about the sport. Did you ever compete? Or?
No, unfortunately, I did not. As growing up, as I didn't have interest in it growing up, but the older I get, the more interesting it seems to be to me. So about 7 years ago, I actually went to a seminar and took an exam, and I am an official now. So I travel around and officiate at jumps, and so that keeps me involved in that way. So, you know,
have you ever gone off of a jump?
No, I have not. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Have you?
Yes.
Well, see.
Is it terrifying?
Sitting on that bar doesn't seem so bad until you're looking down the hill thinking, I cannot bail once I start going down. But don't get me wrong, I've only gone off the smaller hills, so.
like our junior tournament, the 5 meter bump, they call it, the skis that the kids are wearing are actually longer than the amount of distance that they're in the air. So it's a way to start them out small. And
maybe you could go out and try it.
I don't know about that.
No, it's all right. It's fun. It's interesting.
How is it different from, you know, the skiing that most people think of, like downhill skiing? I mean, obviously it's a little bit different technique, but, you know, how are those things different?
Well, I think the biggest difference is the fact that, you know, if you go to downhill, your skis are only attached on the toes. They aren't attached at the heel. So if you watch them.
Like a telemark.
It's like cross country skis, I guess. And the jumping skis are probably twice as heavy, longer, and twice as wide as a downhill ski. And there's no
edge. They actually weigh significantly less.
They are
because of the bindings.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. No. So the bindings really on downhill skis weigh a lot, but for jumping, they're much lighter, and so it's a very different feel from, you know, shushing down the alpine hill to coming off of that ski jump and thinking, is there anything on my feet?
Yeah.
So with when it's just connected to the ball of the foot, not the heel, I mean, is that more difficult to control, or is that just necessary for the technique?
It's necessary for the technique, and there is a heel clip in the back
with a little string type of thing.
Yeah, so the athletes don't lose their skis.
It's actually the pressure of the air.
Yes.
When they're coming down the hill that keeps that, you know, like I said, they try to become an airplane wing, for lack of a better term.
Exactly.
And the air pressure will hold them up as they follow the contour of the hill down.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's, like, as far as scoring, you know, yes, it's important to go far on the hill, but there's different deductions. Like there's a, when you're in the air, there's a certain number of points that you take away if your hands are uneven, if your feet are uneven, if your skis are moving. And then when you land, there's more points that you take away if they don't. A telemark would be 1 foot slightly in front of the other, knees bent, arms out, and that would be a perfect landing. If you come down both feet parallel, or you come down and you drop down, then there's deductions for that. And then at the very bottom of the hill, there's what's called the fall line, and you have to stand through the fall line. You know, if you drag a hand, if you drag your hand, that's a deduction. If you drag both hands, that's a bigger deduction. And if you completely fall, then that's, you know, so a perfect score jumping is a 20, and if you have an unfortunate incident, the worst score you get would be a 3. But World Cup level skiers, 18s, 18 and a halfs, and there are very few deductions.
Mm-hmm. It's all about athletic ability and style.
Yes.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the 93rd annual Snowflake Ski Jump in Westby this weekend. We're here with Signe Jordet, Executive Director for USA Nordic, and Mike Thompson, this weekend's Chief of Competition. So, you know, we've been talking a little bit about, ski jumping as a sport. And I know that after this weekend's competition, the competitors will be headed up to Eau Claire. And I know that they're doing something different, a little bit different this year in Eau Claire. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we have the U.S. Cup Series, which is our domestic series. Westby is the third stop, then we go to Minneapolis during the week, and then Eau Claire. So Eau Claire is a combination this year of U.S. Cup and what's called a FIS Cup, F-I-S, and that's the International Ski Federation. It's a third-tier competition for international competitors, and we're having people once again come from all over the world, and it's a really big deal. To have this level of competition in the U.S. It's difficult to get athletes from around the world to come here. It's a very long trip. And to have them come and do this. And then we have a Continental Cup, which is a second-tier competition in Iron Mountain, Michigan, after Eau Claire.
So that's pretty exciting to have it so nearby. I mean, do you guys work at all with the Eau Claire Ski Club?
Yeah, we all work as a group. For the U.S. Cup Five Hills Tour, they call it, our club, Eau Claire, Minneapolis, Chicago, and Ishpeming, Michigan. The five of us have pooled our resources, and we're splitting the cost of bringing over the Norwegians, the Slovenians, and the Finnish ski team to jump in all five of our events. And then I think the Finnish and the Norwegians, I think, are staying an extra week to jump in Iron Mountain. The level that Iron Mountain has, the Continental Cup, that's what we used to do in Westby up until the early 2000s. And we just don't do it anymore just because of, it's a stupid, cost. It's an added cost of airline tickets and other, the scoring system has to be a certain company and computer program. And actually the marking, when I talked about the markers, the hill markers, saying, yes, he landed this far, actually, there's a system where it's all done by video, where they superimpose a grid on your hill with a laptop, and then they measure the distance that way. There's just added costs that our club, you know, when we were at that stage, we just kind of, you know, I'm not saying we won't do it in the future, but at this stage, we're still kind of getting on our feet and getting things ready to keeping improving, and I think it's just we're going to stay where we're at now. But like, it is a big deal for Eau Claire. It's a big deal for the Midwest, and it's actually a big deal for skiers in the United States who, for some of them, they want to earn points on the world circuit, but maybe the affordability of traveling to Europe, or even there's another event in Vancouver Whistler at the Olympic site from 2010, that, you know, sometimes that cost is a little bit. But so here's an area, here's a event or a possibility for skiers here that wouldn't normally get that. They're able to ski in this event and earn some points on a world level. So,
and compete with some different athletes.
Yeah, it's the competition is completely different.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what was part of the kind of the motivation for trying to bring it to Eau Claire and bring it to, you know, kind of the central United States?
I guess to show off what we have to offer. It's we've had a Fist Cup in Brattleboro, Vermont for the last few years, and it's been very successful. And to sort of share that opportunity across the U.S., you know, the international calendar gets full very quickly, and these days we have a limited amount of time with winter competitions and the snow and temperatures and all of that. And so it's really great that we're able to share it, and Eau Claire is able to capitalize on it in many different ways for their area and for the sport in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And their crowds that they get in Eau Claire are similar to what we get in Westby, you know. And they're working very hard to make some significant changes because there's different levels of, you know, physical, what do I want to say, to their physical jump, they have to make some changes to get them so that they're in line with the regulations. So they're working very hard.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what effect is the fact that, you know, this year isn't an Olympic, a Winter Olympics year? You know, how, do you think that affects the competitions at all?
I don't think it affects the domestic competition so much, but as far as awareness of the sport in general, we definitely pick up leading into the Olympics, and the couple of years post-Olympics are a little bit tougher, but in our domestic competitions, we really have, like we keep saying over and over again, the tradition is really people just keep coming and showing up, and now that we're growing a little bit more, we're out and we're making people aware, and so we're growing the fan base as well.
And who are some of the competitors to watch this weekend? Do we have any kind of out shining stars that are going to be making an appearance?
Well, of our foreign jumpers, both Saturday and Saturday's competition was won by a jumper from Slovenia, and on Sunday he actually placed second to a homegrown jumper, Casey Larson from the Norgay Ski Club. Woo-hoo. And Casey will be here this weekend too, I think. Yes?
I believe so.
Okay. So, you know, it's kind of nice to see somebody from the U.S. You know, we bring the Europeans in. We always try to bring the Norwegians in, at least for Westby, because it's tradition. You know, you've got to have, do you have Norwegians? Yes, we do. Oh, good, then I'll come down, you know. But it is nice to see, it's nice to see the hard work that some of these kids that have, you know, I've seen him jump since he was 8-10 years old, and now he's to the point where he's kind of pushing the limits of the, you know, going to kick the door open and move on to the next level. There's another in the junior class from the Eau Claire Ski Club, is Andrew Erlab is his name. He won the junior class, I believe, on Saturday. So he's also one to watch out for. But like the Norwegians and the Finns and the Slovenians, they'll probably all finish in the top 10, just, you know, because it's, you know, that's the sport over there. You know, that's the winter sport to do in those, especially in Slovenia. I mean, it's a very small country. I think it's 3 million total is their population, but that's their NFL. I mean, that's what every kid wants to grow up and do is be a world champion ski jumper. So,
go ahead.
Oh, at the national level, our head coach and assistant coach for ski jumping and one of the assistant coaches for Nordic combined are all from Slovenia. So we've been able to build a very good relationship with them as far as training and athlete and coach exchanges.
Mm-hmm. And why is it important to bring in, you know, international jumpers? What do you think that really adds to the competition?
I think it changes the way people look at jumping. I think it's how the athletes look at it. The level of competition is definitely elevated. And it also creates conversation between all countries and organizations that really help each other. And hopefully, you know, bring more athletes into the programs and grow it in different ways.
It just helps raise the awareness of our sport. And I think that's our ultimate goal, is to get the crowds and to get our sport, you know, it's upper Midwest, Northeast, and the Rocky Mountains. We need to expand. And a big thing it's not recent, it's been for a while, but a lot of the clubs in Europe are ski jumping in the summertime. and that's with plastic matting that they water down, and then they have in the scaffolding or the tower, they've got porcelain or steel, and so they ski jump year round. Chicago has a tournament in July every year, and they also have one in October every year. They have plastic matting. I think there's plastic matting in the ski club in Wisconsin Rapids and in Itasca, Minnesota also. And Eau Claire, their small hills for their kids club, they've got plastic matting. And that's something that we in Westby are looking at as a long-term goal for our smaller hills. It is a substantial cost, but that's one of the reasons why we've made some decisions that we've made, and that's we're trying to plan for our future. And, you know, that's a long-off goal, but I think it's a goal that if we keep building and our club keeps, you know, being able to put some money away and get things improved and make improvements, and that's something that I would like to see, you know, in Timber Cooley. It'd be awful fun to come down on a July day and sit out in your lawn chair and watch some ski jumping. Yeah.
That's Mike Thompson, Vice President of the Snowflake Ski Club, here with us today to talk about Westby Snowflake Ski Club and their annual competition being held this weekend. Also joining our conversation is Signe Jordet, Executive Director for USA Nordic. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So we're talking about, you know, a lot of hills that are kind of investing in putting in this plastic matting so that you can jump year-round. How is that changing the sport a little bit, do you think?
It's making it more accessible to a lot of people. And I think the fact that a lot of sports are going to year-round opportunities, it also helps us as a sport to stay active and alive.
I think, yeah. Well, like Westby, in 1992 and 1997, we held the national championships in Westby those 2 years in, you know, late January, early February. The last 5 years or more, the Small Hill National Championships, which is on a K90, Westby is we're a K114. So the Small Hills have actually, those championships are in Lake Placid in early October, and the Large Hill National Championships have been in Park City, Utah at the end of July. So that tells you about, you know, how plastic matting and year-round ski jumping is helping, you know, that's people that wouldn't be able to, who wouldn't normally be interested to come out and watch because it'd be cold or whatever. Well, now, oh, it's a beautiful sunny day. I'm going to go sit outside and enjoy the weather and watch something that's entertaining. And something that I, you know, for the Midwest that I'm excited about is in Ironwood, Michigan, which is right across, I think it's Hurley. It's right across the border from Hurley, Wisconsin, I believe, in the UP. There's a place called Copper Peak. And the last time they had a tournament up there was in 1994. Well, that hill is about twice the size of the hill in Westby. And they have gotten some grant money and some fundraising and some help from the international FIS, the international governing body. And they're actually going to put plastic on that hill and have a competition hopefully in September of 2017. So that, you know, you... Instead of having to travel all the way to Europe to see ski flying, you can take about a five-hour car ride and watch it. So, and that, I think, right there is going to do more than that. That is going to help expand our sport into the eyes of that many more people that will come and say, well, gosh, that's pretty neat. I don't have to drive it. Now I can go to Westby and watch that instead of driving 5 hours to watch that. I can do it here. And, you know, it just helps build the community and expand our sport and make people more aware of what we have to offer.
And what are you most looking forward to this weekend?
Most looking forward to? Well, meeting up with old friends. You know, I'm actually looking forward to showing off our community, showing off our club. I want everybody to have a good time. I want a competition to be good. I want the competition to be safe. But it's a way for, I think one of our older club presidents, you know, way back when he used to do the opening ceremonies, it was always Westby welcomes the world, or the world comes to Westby is what he always used to say. And that's fairly true, you know. So at some point when some of these kids that are jumping, when they are in their, when they're my age or older, they can say, well, yeah, back in 25 years ago, I traveled the United States and I jumped in Westby and I met these great people and I had this great time. And that's what I hope.
We've been talking with Mike Thompson, Vice President of the Snowflake Ski Club and Chief of Competition this weekend, and Signe Jordette, Executive Director for USA Nordic, about Westby's Snowflake Ski Club, the all-volunteer ski jumping club hosting their 93rd annual competition this weekend. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to the Snowflake Ski Club's website and the results for this weekend's competition. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producer and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.